It is a Patriots Monday, and we are moments away from Bill Belichick, and then Boomer Esiason will join us at 8, and Mac Jones this afternoon with Lou and Christian at 2:30 after a Patriots win against the Titans yesterday. But right now, Bill is brought to you by the Massachusetts General Cancer Center, Everyday Amazing. Also by Northeast Men's Health, the experts when it comes to the sexual health of men. You can learn more at northeastmenshealth.com. And by Zuti, build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details. And Bill Belichick joins us on the Harbor One hotline this morning. Morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning. How's it going, Greg?
How are you?
Good. Good.
By the way,
Wiggy, working through it here.
Wiggy is playing injured today. He threw out his hip getting into a hot tub, Bill.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. Sometimes you get those situations where, you know, guys are playing football or sports or whatever, and they're active as, you know, as active as they can be, and they're in contact, and then something, you know, happens somewhere else that just, you know, some random thing. So, you know, it's, you just never know. But I hope he's feeling better.
Yeah, I'm getting old. That's all.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell me about it.
By the way, before we talk football, I just want to mention I have been roundly criticized on this program for my fashion sense, and in particular, a white T-shirt that I once wore, which I did. The angle in the photo was bad. That's why I didn't look good. You look fantastic yesterday. I like mixing it up with the jacket and the T-shirt. You look great yesterday.
Okay, well, that means a lot. Thanks.
Go ahead, Wiggy.
Hey, Bill, I wanted to ask this because I watching the game yesterday, I saw Devin McCourty was wearing the green dot, and I saw Juwan Bentley wear it at times and other guys. What goes into the decision on whether you want a linebacker or safety wearing the green dot, or is it something that it's just week to week, or do you prefer the back end guy wearing it who's kind of calling defense, who could see a little bit of everything?
Yeah, right. No, it's a really good question. It really kind of depends on the situation. You know, sometimes, you know, our linebackers aren't in there on certain third down packages, and then you'd have to, you know, signal one group and do the headset in the other group versus just doing the headset, you know, to one person all the time. Sometimes depends on the, you know, the type of game or the personnel grouping that they use and so forth. So there's a little bit of, we're fortunate. We have a lot of guys that can do that. You know, Bentley can do it, Hightower, Van Noy, McCourty. You know, we have a lot of guys that can handle that. So, you know, if we need to juggle it around, we can certainly do that.
Bill, Mac looked great yesterday, only the second quarterback to throw for over 300 yards against Tennessee in regulation. You look at Josh McDaniels and his game plan for him. He seems to be bringing him along perfectly to really showcase his talent. Does Mac's ability on the field make it easier for Josh to kind of game plan better or bigger than maybe quarterbacks that you've had in the past?
Make it easier to game plan over Tom Brady? No.
No, I just mean as a rookie, you see a guy come in, you must be impressed by his ability to play. So you look at Josh McDaniels and his ability to game plan with him.
Josh does a great job. I mean, I've said that multiple times. Josh does a fantastic job of game planning, game calling, and game adjustments. I think when you coach a team or when you coach a player, you know, you just don't sit there and think about, you know, is he a rookie? Is he a second-year player? Is he a seventh-year player? Is he a ninth-year player? You just coach him to try to help him get better. And you know, that's a sliding scale. I mean, I understand that coaching a rookie is not the same as coaching a 10-year veteran. But whatever that player, regardless of how many years he's been in the league, whatever he can handle, whatever he can process, whenever you feel like, you know, you're getting near the top, then you have to pull back a little bit until, until you're comfortable with the level of information or volume that you're teaching the player. And then, you know, after he gets it, absorbs that, then you can, keep stacking it a little bit higher. So I think that's the way any coach coaches, any player, whether it's, Cam coming in last year, new to the system, or Mac coming in this year, new to the system. Some players process some things, easier and quicker than others do, and then others process things easier and quicker than another player. So you just kind of have to find that balance with each player, regardless of what year he's in or, what position he plays. That's just coaching. And it also, that plays to your whole team, too. It's not just one guy. Maybe one player a couple players are comfortable with a certain adjustment or a certain way of doing something. And if another one isn't, or he's just not, ready for that yet, or whatever the situation is, then you probably got to back off on it until you can get to that point, or just forget it and do something else. That's something that, you can't execute well. So I think it's really about, building the team, improving each individual player, but fitting that together. You're as strong as your weakest link, and that doesn't mean you're weak. It's sometimes it's experience, or it's the opportunity to see things in practice, different things, so that if the defense or the offense does something a little different than what they usually do, you know how to handle it. So again, I think that really is the same for every player, and it's the same for offense, defense, and special teams. There's a composite of what the entire group can do, not just one individual person.
Bill, another big play yesterday from JC. What is it about him that makes him so good back there?
Yeah, well, it's a great play by Devin. I mean, Devin, took the over out and was able to, break it up, and then, JC gobbled it up there. But and then the strip was, it was a similar play that he had last year, 2 years ago, whatever it was, in the Cleveland game. But, just effort and seeing the ball come away from the, the runner's body and just timing the punch or the strip there. So he's, JC is a very instinctive player, and he's fast. And his speed, enables him to make some plays that, that maybe some other guys couldn't make. But, he's got a good instinctiveness for the ball, whether it's knocking it out or catching it. And he's obviously got excellent hands and eye coordination.
Bill, when you look at your rush defense yesterday, you give up a ton of yards, but the prior couple of weeks to that, you guys did a good job. What was it yesterday that maybe allowed Tennessee to get some of those yards on the ground? Was it, poor gap discipline, or was it just getting beat at the point of attack?
Yeah, well, a couple big plays obviously really, skewed that, like it always does, which is, we just got to do a better job of, coaching and defending that. So it's, statistically, this game wasn't a lot different from the 19 game in terms of what their production was, rushing, passing, and so forth. Big difference, obviously, is the turnovers, and we score a lot more points. So, we just got to go back to work here and fix some of the things that hurt us, and do a better job of coaching them and doing a better job of executing them.
Kendrick Bourne seems to be putting in the extra effort on every play. David Andrews called him an energizer bunny after the game. What makes him so helpful and important to this team?
Yeah, KB has been really productive for us, and he does have a high level of energy every day, whether it's practice or you guys see it on Sunday, but we see it every day in practice. He's great. Great guy to have on the team, has a great attitude, really works hard to do his job and help others, by blocking, or sometimes just clearing out on a route or something like that. So, glad we have him, and he's really, really stepped up for us.
Bill, looking ahead to Sunday, what makes Josh Allen tough to defend?
Pretty much everything, Greg. He can throw it. He can extend plays. His experience level has made him a really smart quarterback, doing a lot of little things, like things with the cadence and audible in, and, you know, seeing blitzes, anticipating them, sliding the protection over to pick him up, things like that. He's, you know, he's a smart player. He's tough. He's physical. He's got a great arm, hard to tackle, make all the throws. He's got good leadership and toughness out there. You know, he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
It should be pretty wild in Buffalo on Monday night. What has your experience been, Bill, in your 20 years in the division with the Bills Mafia? I can't imagine they like you too much.
Yeah, I'm sure they. Yeah, no, they definitely don't like me.
By the way, I got a follow up on the potato question. Did you get what you wanted on Thanksgiving?
Oh yeah, I'm all set. Yeah, Linda took care of it.
Okay. What was it? Mashed or scalloped or baked?
Sweet potatoes.
Okay. Good.
Oh, wow. All right. Bill, I was watching the. I've been, you know, obviously you watch a lot of football week in and week out. You watch the Thanksgiving Day game. Good game between Dallas and Vegas. Problem is, ton of penalties. You look at your football team, you only had four penalties in yesterday's game. You know, what do you guys do over there coaching wise to kind of get the players into the mindset of what they have to do to not allow stupid penalties to kind of change the outcome of the game or make things difficult for you guys to win football games?
Right. Well, you know, we get say the penalties fall into, you know, a few different categories, but and so certainly the ones that are preventable, let's start with those. Those are the ones that you have to eliminate. Pre-snap penalties and substitution alignment and things like that. You just got to take care of those. Those are inexcusable. Coaching, you know, substitutions, things like that. We got to eliminate those. And then there are the penalties that are caused by poor technique. So doing, you know, just having poor technique on the play that puts you out of position, and then you reach, grab, hold, you know, whatever it is that causes penalties. And then there are decisions, judgments, and then there's some bang bang plays that sometimes it's just stuff happens. That's football, you know, and you look at the play, and it's hard to tell the player what to do differently. You know, you probably, if you were playing the position, probably would have done the same thing. And sometimes stuff happens. But the ones that we can prevent by concentration and proper technique and decision-making, we try to make as few of those as possible. And we have to eliminate the ones that are totally in our control that are pre-snap penalties. Those are, you know, those don't have anything to do with who we play. That's just us. So we have to fix those.
I notice Mike Vrabel seems to have that team huddle up at midfield on the Patriots logo every once in a while. Is it is that just coincidence or gamesmanship, or did you notice that at all?
No, I missed it.
After the game, you said 8 wins aren't going to clinch you guys anything. How do you temper the excitement after a big win like that for not only you, but the coaching staff, the team, when you look ahead and know that you have another big one ahead of you?
Yeah, well, it's always great to win. It's hard to win in this league, and so it's, you know, it's great to win, but you got to turn the page. Win or lose, you got to turn the page and move on. So we got a big game coming up. We can't just sit and dwell on this one. You know, we lost some tough games earlier in the year, and can't sit around and, you know, cry about those either. So you got to move on. That's the NFL. I mean, every week's a battle. You got to be ready to, you know, to face the next challenge. So that'll never change. We can't operate any differently than that.
Bill, I know you talk about the penalties, and a lot of it I've kind of got out of that was discipline. There was a play in the game on Kendrick Bourne's touchdown where Jacoby Myers has a tailback block. And I know with the new rules nowadays, it's very difficult to – I mean, you can't hit the guy, but those guys can still make plays. you look at a play that he kind of just positions himself in the perfect position to not pick up a penalty, but also get in front of the guy, and so he can allow Kendrick Bourne to get in there for the touchdown. How are you coaching guys nowadays, especially in those situations where a lot of those plays lead to touchdowns or lead to big plays, but you can't blindside guys no more?
Right. Well, you know, that's a great, it's a great question, and a coaching point that is, you know, we always try to emphasize. It's the defenseless receiver. It's roughing the quarterback. It's blindside, peel back, open field blocks. Like, those are all decisions that players have to make in a split second. And you know, I'd say over time and through experience. And not just on our team, but throughout the league, you know, you don't see the defenseless receiver penalty much anymore. I mean, that play used to happen 5 times a game, and then you'd see 3 or 4 penalties a game, and now it's, you know, much less frequent. And I think, you know, players have understood and made the adjustment to, you know, the strike zone and contact and, you know, not leading with the head and so forth. And, you know, same thing with roughing the passer. I mean, there are some close calls on that. But, again, I'd say in general, you know, the defensive players, you know, understand the strike zone, again, above the knees, below the shoulders, and, you know, can't body weight the quarterback and so forth. I mean, there's still some that get called, but it's trending probably in the right direction, which is good for player safety. And whether it's making decisions on, like I said, blocks or hitting the quarterback or, you know, contacting a receiver who's looking for the ball and doesn't see the defender coming, peel back blocks and things like that. The players need to understand the rule, and they need to understand what they can't do, and then try to do the best they can with what they can do. And so that was a great decision by Jacoby. But, you know, you see that a lot in the kicking game. And screen passes and things like that, those open field plays. And it's just that split-second decision that the player has to make. And, you know, fortunately, we have a lot of smart players, guys that, you know, pay attention, that learn from either their mistakes or watching others do it and get into that situation and do the right thing. Certainly Jacoby falls into that category. So it's you know, as you know, things happen out there in just a split second. You can't plan for them, and all of a sudden you're right there, and you have to try to react quickly and also, you know, properly to do the right thing. So, it's what being a good football player is.
Well, it's like getting in a hot tub. If you don't react quick enough, you throw your hip out.
Well, it's got to be difficult, I would imagine, Bill. It's got to be difficult nowadays, like, to coach. Even on, like, screen passes, linemen are so ingrained in cutting guys and, you know, getting guys on the ground. And now, you know, you take that away from them. And I know it's about safety of the game, but there has to be this difficulty in coaching it the right way, to where you're trying to take something that's been ingrained in players for so long, and I feel like it's a part of the game, and now you're taking it away. So that's kind of why when I saw that play, and even on screen passes, I got to be like, you know, you got to give yourself and your coaching staff credit for being able to get guys to be able to do that.
Right. Well, on the, you know, on the screen passes and the outside runs and things like that, it's really no different than a kickoff or a kickoff return. And, you know, as you know, back in the day, when you were allowed to block below the waist on kickoff returns, and that was taken away, and then on kickoffs you're allowed to go in and cut the wedge, and then that rule was changed. So, you know, now on the kickoffs, the return blockers have to block, you know, above the waist, and the coverage players can't, you know, cut blockers in space or cut the wedge or that kind of thing. And so that's really what a screen pass is now. It's just turned into a kickoff and a kickoff return with the same rules. Same thing in the punting game, too. But those rules now have just been transferred over to those plays outside the tackle box. So I think, you know, it's been an adjustment for the offensive tackles and for the corners, probably more for the tackles, because, again, corners, that's how they would play on kickoff coverage and, you know, punt coverage and things like that. So they already have to deal with that rule. But, you know, I think the overall consistency of the rule is a good idea. So now everybody's, you know, plays it the same way, whether it's a punt, a kickoff, or a scrimmage play. And, you know, like I said, it's just an adjustment that some guys have had to make, but honestly, it's fundamentally no different than the same adjustment they made in the kicking game, you know, however many years ago that was, 15 years, 20 years ago, whatever it was.
All right, Bill, 1 week from tonight in Buffalo. We will talk to you on Tuesday of next week, I believe. So Tuesday morning, thanks for being on this morning.
Yep, sounds good. Yep, big one this week, so look forward to it. All right, see you Tuesday.